sien pas daar hoor toe daar kom nie so wat te beloon was. Ek het dit as jy daar langs kom die mense hulle in. En altyd is beloon ek kom so bee. And that bee they need to go look after because that bee then is bomb. So it is and that is now your first responsibility in life to go plant book and look after book. And by doing that they will come out a plant as you can see on the screen. So and I can really say that school children are really excited to look up this book because why it is the first thing they can feel proud of because they look after. So you see that the many life stories teach them to be responsible to look up the book. And throughout the program we have 9 modules. So throughout the program we ask them to bring a book again to school. We see what did you learn, what is your responsibility. But throughout we teach them the basics of fetal alcohol syndrome. And there's another pledge, a hand pledge we call it, where the young men say, I will help my wife not to drink any alcohol during her pregnancy. And the girl learners will say, I will not drink any alcohol during my pregnancy. And this poster we put out in the school, so all the other grades pass the poster. They see, oh, look at my friends, they're on the wall. How can my hand come out there? And so then we also encourage them, but you need to do good in your grades. You know, because this is just for the grade 6 and 7 learners, you need to pass, so we motivate them. If you pass grade 5, if you pass grade 4, you will be able to put your hand on this poster. So we are making use of very visual stuff so that they can see the promises they made 2 years or 1 year back. Like Francois said, we really wanted the school children to be part of it, to share their testimony, but we went to the school in with a consent form. We asked them to whatever they wanted to say here, they need to, we're going to record them so that they can share the message. So here's 2 messages of the Harriet schoolboy and the girl. If the time is possible, can I quickly just play the video clip? Thank you. Boy, I've heard about primary school, so he's just quickly going to say his message. Thank you for this moment. I give over to my colleagues.
organization conducted
two impact assessment studies, which was completed by independent consultancies. And one of the consultancies undertook the study in partnership with the Department of Economic Development and Tourism, the provincial government of the Western Cape. And the positive effects and the successes of our programs and our campaigns in communities are supported by three main findings from these impact assessment studies. And the first finding was that communities' knowledge of fetal alcohol syndrome has increased due to the introduction of our programs. Secondly, communities are more health conscious after the presentation of fast access programs. And the third finding was that behavioral changes of individuals took place after the presentation of fast access programs.
Yeah. Then we are nearly finished now. Currently, we have a footprint, obviously, in the Western Cape. We do some training programs in the Cape Winans District Municipal Area, as well as in Atlantis and other parts in the Western Cape, like the Doorns and so forth, and also in the Southern Cape, Knysna, Mossel Bay, Plettenberg Bay. And then we also did quite a lot of training in the Northern Cape, in the Upington area, Kimberley area, Coles, those areas. And then we are currently busy to establish an office in the Eastern Cape, in East London, where we will roll out two of our programs, the Train the Trainer program, as well as the Pregnant Women Mentoring program in the Ndantsane neighborhood, a very, very huge, big neighborhood. But we will only start with in some areas in that specific neighborhood. And then our dream is that we will have office and programs by the year 2020 in each province in South Africa, because the problem is not only in the Western and in the Northern Cape. The problem of fetal alcohol syndrome is everywhere where a woman drinks alcohol during pregnancy. Fast-facts needs. You ask us to mention what is our needs, so we've put it on paper so that we've got also a clear idea of what we need to roll out our programs to other areas in South Africa. Now, the first important thing, and that is we all know, is that we need sustainable funding, not only for a year or 2 years, but sustainable funding, because when we started in the province, we don't want to stop the programs within a 2 or 3 years' time. We need to continue with that specific service. And then, obviously, also infrastructure support. We need an office in each province so that we can at least have a basis from where we can operate. And then also extension of fast access staff component. That is also very, very important for us. So why we are here today is is to ask you, all of you, also Department of Social Development, who is one of our current funders for many, many, many years, and Department of Health, to ask you to take our hands so that we can really, really make a difference in our communities. We only scratch on the surface at this stage. We need to roll out our programs to each and every corner in South Africa, and that is why we ask you to sit down with us and see, is there possibilities that we can work out how we can take hands to tackle this problem and really make a difference in our different communities. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We welcome the presentation, although you didn't give us in writing in the narrative the background. However, we understand because you are not a government agency that is actually funded. You are still trying to paddle your way through to see if government cannot come to your assistance, given the kind of program that you are driving. I'm going to give this chance to members to engage with you and ask questions and advice and support whatever there is need, so that we can then get your responses and conclude the program. Thank you. Honourable Member. Honourable Hartin. Is there another member that wants to make an input? Honourable Mpambos Buwan.
Thank you, Chair. This is a massive task, I think. I would just like to get more into the mechanics of what's going on. I'd like to know how do you operate, what's your funding, where do you get your funding from, what is your budget. I just want to understand what's going on. Secondly, what other players are there in your field? And is there a corporation if there are other players? In your opinion, the effect of the state and the programs to address FAS. Then, do you have any statistical evidence that you're making inroads in the areas where you are operating? And if so, what are they? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. A very good morning to everybody, and thanks for the presentation. On your presentation, you are silent on the awareness programs in the so-called black townships. I'm talking, and I know you have been in rural Western Cape in terms of farms, where filter alcohol syndrome is very rife, but I want to know, what have you done in terms of getting to the so-called black schools, where this information is very important and imperative to get to the minds of the young generation who are affected by this, and what were your awareness programs that you have done previously? That's the first thing. And secondly, your intention is to roll the program in all 9 provinces. And I want to know, what efforts have you done together with the Department of Social Development and together with the Department of Health in preventative measures? Because the alcohol, you know, you're dealing with most of the time, we're dealing with the problem that's existing, and we don't focus on preventative measures. And you keep on saying when the child has been conceived, stop consuming alcohol, which I agree with you. But what are you saying to the youth in terms of abstinence? What are you saying to the youth in terms of abstinence from sex and abstinence from liquor? Social development is dealing with a program of families. And I don't know what message is being conveyed with regard to this as a collaborative method to our communities. I would like to know, having been funded previously by social development and health, but at least on a certain percentage, because you need more now, what have you done in that regard, specifically with that program of social development of families, where you engage once a year? I know you always roll it out to all provinces, but I know here in the Western Cape, you've done it with communities in Khayelitsha, you've done it in communities in Delft and wherever. But have you been invited to do presentation? and not in a presentation like you do now, but the presentation that I had once seen with you, where people become engaged even with the blowing of the balloon and when it pops out and everything, because that is more youth-friendly for me. It is appropriate for the youth where this problem of fetal alcohol syndrome is rife to them. I thank you for that.
Social development has a subcommittee on drug abuse. Did they go to the department and present this program? Because I understand social development is the one who is funding the project like this one. Did they go and present this beautiful program to the department so that as the politicians or the committee who can assist because we are oversighting over the department in the way they are funding their projects. So that's why, you know, if they have to do the presentation to the department so that we can assist them.
It looks like those are the members that wanted to pose the questions. I've just a few issues to raise. One, you are dealing with a subject that is highly sensitive and scientific, and it should be backed up by medical research so that there are no questions in terms of where you derive your facts from. You would have delved into some kind of medical research and you've actually studied and have proved that alcohol has an effect to this extent. For the department, maybe to consider supporting your program, there would have to be those facts and medical research evidence that points to the fact that even though there is that body that deals with alcohol and drug abuse, they are not reaching to communities far enough to have an effect. You also stated the fact that in your presentation, you have conducted an impact assessment for the program. Which samples did you use? Based on which area? What ages? That is the kind of information that when you present your case before the department, now we are at the level of a select committee, you'd have to get ready to have, because you are going to get questions of that nature before the department can decide whether or not they want to fund you. I get the sense that you are an NGO and you've been operating for 15 years already. Honorable Hutton did raise a question as to all these years, where have you been getting financial support? Was it funding? Is it internal funding that you are getting, and to what extent are you getting the funding? I appreciate the fact that also you said you've got offices in all the provinces, or you aspire to have offices in all the provinces. I want to assure you that the program that you're driving is very important. Very, very important. The reachability, in my own thinking, should be to all the schools. And of course, 25,000 schools in the country. For students to hear this, and then the message is going to be cascaded down, starting from primary school ages, right up to high school. It's a very important message, but you need to prepare yourselves and your
your proposal in such a way that it is convincing for this committee to be able to assist you to ask the department to consider assisting you using the rules and regulations and policies of the department that they normally use to back up activities of this nature. But I get the sense that the committee is actually very happy about the kind of service that you are rendering. And then I don't know what kind of memorandum of understanding you seek to have with the department and other bodies that are doing the same. Because as I say, we can never have enough of bodies or NGOs that are doing this kind of work. The nation is being destroyed by alcohol and drugs. And the kind of effect I'm looking at faces of children in a presentation did not delve into that, you know, lack of control of temper, being impulsive and violent. And all these people that are rotting in jail. It says to me, as I am looking at the presentation, it was because probably 80% of them were born of mothers that took alcohol during pregnancy. And we can address a lot of issues in South Africa if we to support this venture and pick it up to such an extent that we drastically, if not totally, eliminate the use of alcohol when mothers are pregnant, and invite the support of husbands and boyfriends to be part of the program. Because when a child is born with a permanent disability that could have been avoided, it's very painful. And it is unfair on the baby. It is unfair on the baby to have been born under circumstances that could have avoided that nature of disability. So I just wanted to air my views and then allow me to respond to the questions as arranged by the members. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Quite a number of questions that we have to go through. The first question was around about what is happening with InfosFax. Now, we started out during May 2002 as a very, very small organization. It was really a calling for me to and my wife to establish FastFax. I did my studies at the University of Stellenbosch as a minister in the church, and then I was also a chaplain in the Navy for 2 years. But I never went into the ministry because I believed that God called me to serve communities on ground level. And I started out with a rural foundation where we did community development work. And one of the programs that we have presented was programs on alcohol and drug abuse. And one of the aspects that we looked after was also fetal alcohol syndrome. I can picture still today where I showed them videos from the one farm to the other farm to inform mothers not to drink alcohol during pregnancy. So that is where my interest and my calling start with fetal alcohol syndrome. And many years after that, only in 2002, we were called to establish FastFax, where we focus only on the prevention of fetal alcohol syndrome. So that is why we sit here today. Now, we started out approaching people for funding to start programs on a very, very small scale. And we were funded by a Netherland funder, Kinderbosheer of Nederland. They funded us for 3 years until we got on our feet. And then Also, the Department of Social Development was one of our first funders, and up till today, they are one of our funders, and we appreciate it immensely. And then also Department of Agriculture, they are also one of our funders for many years. There was a time where they didn't fund us, they didn't have enough funding, but for the past 2 years they fund us again. And then also Distell from the liquor industry, they are also fund us for many, many years in the past. And the Nelson Mandela Children Fund, they've got a program what they call Sexual Violence Against School-Going Girls, and we combine it with our FAS prevention programs because liquor, in many cases, plays a huge role in violence against women and also against school-going girls. And then the Cape Winelands District Municipality, they are also one of our funders in terms of funding the refreshments for us on programs when we implement our programs on ground level. And the Lotto are used to be also one of our biggest funders. In the past, they gave us really huge amounts of funding. There were states around about 2010, 2011, 2012, where they gave us, say, 1,500. The 1 year, they gave us more than 4 million rand. But then they changed their policy, where they give less money to more NGOs instead of a lot of money to only a few NGOs. So that made a huge, huge difference in our income. Our income was those years around about 6 to 7 million rand a year. And then when they changed their policy, we got a drop in our income. Currently, we've got a turnover, very low turnover of around about 2 million. It should be much, much, much higher. Then, yeah, that is more or less on the funding side. You ask also about other role players. We try to take hands with other role players, obviously, in the areas where we are working. When it gets to other NGOs doing the same work than us, like FAR, the Foundation for Alcohol-Related Research, which you will know very, very well, they do, we respect them, highly respect them for the research that they are doing on ground level, as well as their intervention and prevention programs. When it gets to newspapers phone you, radios phone you, and ask you to say something about the research, we normally take hands with FAR and refer them to FAR because we can't talk on behalf of research. We are not the research organization. And research is also very costly, so you can't only start and doing research. If you want to do research, you must prepare yourself and have a very good foundation of long-term funding. So if there is institutions like FAR and also the University of Stellenbosch that are doing that kind of research, I can't see how we can also start doing research. I don't think it is our territory. I don't know, you asked something, a question around about the effect of government. Can you possibly rephrase that question for me? You ask a question around about the effect of government is in terms.
Yes, the effect of your efforts.
On government.
The impact that you make on FAS in the communities where you work.
Okay, yeah. Now,
statistical evidence on
that? Yeah, it is very difficult to get statistical evidence because the evidence that you are looking for is when you go into a community, what is the prevalence rate of FAS? And after 4 or 5 years of implementing your programs, what is the prevalence rate now? And we can't give you that evidence because we don't do that kind of research. That research costs quite a lot of funding. So that is why we say that we know there's problems in the communities where women drink alcohol during their pregnancies. So we need to implement prevention programs. And the kind of impact assessment studies that we did in the past showed us that at least the knowledge of the people in that communities increased. The statistic there was that around about 82% said that they got the knowledge also from FastFacts, obviously not only from FastFacts, they get it from clinics and from FAR or whoever they might be working in that areas, but at least 82% got the knowledge also from FastFacts. And then around about 70% of the people said that the people in those specific areas got more health conscious. And if people get more health conscious, that is also a good thing because they think more of what they are eating and drinking during pregnancy. And then about 59% of the people that took part in that survey said that there was also a positive behavioral change amongst these people in that specific communities. So if you look at statistics, that is the kind of statistics we can say, give you. But we can't say there was definitely a drop in the prevention in the FAS rate in that specific area. And then question around about black townships. We really wanted to get into black townships as well. We approached certain funders to go into Swellendam in Worcester. We haven't been successful at this stage. But in certain areas like in the Durrens, where we presented our programs for many years in different schools, we don't present it now because we don't have funding for that specific schools. There was were also black schools amongst the schools where we presented our programs. So we definitely present our programs to black, white and colored schools depending whether they are in that specific area where we implement our programs. Yeah, and then obviously in the Eastern Cape in Lansani, that it's mostly a black neighborhood where we will implement our next program. Then you also had a question around about Department of Social Development. As we said that they are also one of our funders and we take hands with them as far as possible. When it gets to September International FAS Day, they also normally take hands with us and we present certain programs in the Worcester area for that specific month. And then, Herschel, I don't know if you want to answer this question, what are you saying to youth about abstaining from alcohol and from drugs and also from sex?
I just want to add that how we partner with the governmental departments is in the Cape Winelands there is 24 CDWs, community development workers. Okay, so we train them in our trainer program and they are associated in the different areas like in Worcester, in Bakwen, in Paul, Zwelentemba, and there they are going to the clinics in the so-called black townships and they present the message actually so they make the youth aware of fetal alcohol syndrome and in the communities. And also sometimes it is now difficult to get into the classrooms, you know, so they are really trying to do presentations and awareness campaigns through break time. And so this is how we form with them and train them on the general knowledge of fetal alcohol syndrome so that they can move into their communities. And we currently trained 24 CDWs, community development workers, and they are spread all over the Cape Winelands district.
Thank you.
And the current program we were running in the Woestop High School is the parenting skill. And there we train, we present to the pregnant girls on the school to abstain from alcohol and guide them through the pregnancy on school level. And also with the grade 8 and grade 7, grade 8 and grade 9 learners, we do presentations where we make them aware of the dangers of alcohol and the unborn baby, and also make them aware about drugs and their social life, what the damages can do to their futures and stuff. So we're really moving into to the youth people to really take hands with them and to help them through the processes of the negative effects that we have. Thank you.
Yeah, our program, our focus is mainly on prevention of fetal alcohol syndrome, but our program is divided into two parts. The one focus on the prevention of fetal alcohol syndrome, and the other part is focused on alcohol and drug abuse in general as well. So we do teach the children from grade 6 onwards that they have, at that age, abstain from alcohol, abstain from drugs, abstain from the sexual side of life, until they grow up and they can make responsible decisions on whether they want to use alcohol and take part in sexual activities. So that is definitely part of our programs, and that is why there's quite a number of life skills embedded in our programs, because it doesn't help you give only the knowledge through to children and adults. You also must make sure whether they've got the life skills to implement that specific knowledge that they get from us. And then
I'm going to give you a few minutes just to round off, because we still have another session.
Then presenting our programs towards the Department of Social Development, the Committee on Alcohol and Drug Abuse. We did it in the past, we did it long ago, so I think it's a wake-up call for us to get to them again and present it to them. We were used to invite quite a number of people also to our BOP programs to come and see yourself how we implement it, and I think time arrived that we must do it again so that you can see on ground level how we implement our programs. And then the thing that Herschel raised here about Department of Local Government, they've got a huge amount of community development workers on ground level right through South Africa, and it is really I think it is one of the places where we can start, not create new community developments on ground level, but use existing community developments. I'm nearly finished. Yeah, somebody mentioned about programs should be backed up by medical research. The closest that we will get now in the Mdansane area is that the Rhodes University, they are part of this program, and that strengthens our hands quite a lot, because they are busy doing a baseline study to see what is the drinking patterns of the people and the women in that specific areas. And then we will implement our programs, and then they will do an impact assessment study again. And that will help us quite a lot. And from our side, we really want to thank you for listening to us. And I think it would be a good thing for us to sometime, somewhere in the future, arrange a day where we can show you how we implement our programs on ground level.
No, thank you very much for your responses. I don't know if DSD wants to say something, just briefly as well as, I don't know why the Department of Health is not involved in the program. they are actually subsidizing the program.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I think FASFEP is doing a good job. However, I think we want to stress that they cannot be everywhere. It's a reality. I think we need to expand in terms of training or identifying existing resource organizations or resource persons in communities so that they are trained and then they can provide this program, be integrated in existing programs. Because, for instance, what links perfectly with what we are doing is your adolescent sexual reproductive health program and your substance abuse. But also we want to strengthen the family program, because if we concentrate much on the adolescents and children, we have a first 1,000 days of life within the ECD program, where we also need to focus and educate your ECD practitioners and parents, because most parents are in the childbearing stage where they need this information much more. So we will continuously support you because we believe you can make difference. But it's better if you concentrate in fewer areas, because when you spread wings, you need to make sure you have the right resources. But if you concentrate in one area, you can make the desired impact. Thank you.
Does the Department of Health want to say anything? 2 minutes.
Maybe just to echo on what my colleague has said, in terms of, I think we need to find ways of linking them specifically with the reproductive health unit, so that we, I know there's work that is done by the women's and maternal health unit, but I don't think it's effective enough, because the advantage with the group is being on the ground, working very closely. So we'll find a way of linking them. We are not aware of what they're doing, but it's good.
No, thank you. We've come to the end of our engagement with the FASFEP. We really do want to reiterate the fact that you appreciate the kind of work you're doing. In my remarks, I had no understanding that you are indeed subsidized by DSD, but they cannot be the only player. The work is massive. They cannot be the only player. There are various other departments that have got to come to the party. It's a societal issue. It's not an issue of only FASFEP and DSD. It's an issue that would affect health, as you are saying. It's an issue that would affect the Department of Education. So there are many other actors that have to come to the party. I don't know the extent to which this information is available to teachers of life sciences, teachers of biology in school. Is it part of the syllabus? Are they exposed to this program? Are they talking about it to the learners? Those are all the issues that I'm raising, as to say that we need many actors to come on board and support the program as a multi-departmental program that can expand, because you can't stand on your own. You need to partner with various other actors in order for it to be effective. And we cannot overemphasize the importance of impact assessment studies, because that is what informs us as to whether we've got a return on investment as government. It is critically important. That one we need to have as to be able to refer to. I like the idea of community development workers being empowered in this program as well, because you will then be piggybacking on what is already there and actually empower them and develop them for them to be able to take the message broadly to communities who they serve. With those views, I want to say thank you very much for the presentation. We hope we'll find time as part of oversight when we draw our programs to reach areas where you are working and actually observe how you roll out your program. But I am not the chairperson of the select committee, but I think the chairperson, when Mama Lamin, when she draws the oversight program, maybe would be in a position to fit in an opportunity where we actually visit some of your operations on the ground. Thank you very much. I think we adjourn the meeting at that note. Thanks.
business card and a brochure to give to each of you. And then we will definitely prepare a document for you as well, like a kind of a business plan.
Parliamentary monitoring group. We write up the minutes of these meetings. They get posted on the website. So if I do have any questions, I can give you a call. But we can also obviously use your details in case anybody wants to follow up directly with you.
Okay. Is it possible to get a list of all the people that do this?
Yes, I'm going to ask the meeting secretary for that because I was a little bit late. Because not everybody from the committee might be here.
No.
Can you, let me give you actually, can I email you once I've got confirmation of who is and isn't here? Can I email you the list?
Yeah.
Because you obviously don't want people who are absent.
Yeah.
This is the list. But I see one or two other people who've also been invited.
Thanks for your time. We'll keep in touch.
So I will email you the list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
Sure.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
I got